What I propose to do with you, first of all, put it in context. I like to have context. I'm not beginning at the beginning of the David story. We're going to begin at the point where David is well established as king of the whole of Israel. He has achieved almost everything he wants, really. He's united the kingdom. He has a common capital, Jerusalem. He has made it his political center, his judicial center. He has brought the Ark of the Covenant there, so it's his spiritual center. He has exploited the political vacuum in which they lived. Are you aware of the political vacuum? Let's explain it. He had two superpowers, Egypt to the south, and in Mesopotamia, whoever happened to be ascendant, Assyria, Babylon eventually. They were temporarily in decline, and consequently, the corridor between the two, Canaan, is a corridor between Mesopotamia and Egypt, which was either dominated by Mesopotamia or dominated by Egypt. For that period, it wasn't being dominated. And David exploits that and creates a mini-empire. He is ruling into Syria, down into Moab, and other places. A remarkable achievement. And he is firmly set on his throne. So there's the picture thus far. And now we take up the story.
Sorry, how many years was he on the throne?
40. Judah, in Hebron, and 33 over the whole of Israel. And his achievements were remarkable.
Even until after the 7 years, Judah, they really were like two kingdoms, not just...
The point is, what happened was not the division of the kingdom, but the breakdown of the coalition. The Lib Dems went one way and the Conservatives the other. That's what eventually happened. And there are those who might say, well, the pressures were there. Vayihi teshuvat ha-shana, right-hand side of the page, and it's chapter 11, of course. And it happened at the turn of the year. The turn of the year means the beginning of an annual cycle. And we must assume it's the spring, because they were dominated by an agricultural calendar. And the spring would be the beginning of their cycle, not only for growing, but also for warring. Seit Malachim, it was the time when kings would go forth, namely to battle. You don't go out and fight a campaign in the winter. Doing it in the height of summer isn't the best time either. But the spring, ideal. So this is the time when kings engage in the sport of kings, killing each other. David sends Joab, his commander-in-chief, and his servants with him. David's servant, I mean his servant, he sent out his butler, his baker, and his candlestick maker. No, these are David's crack personal troops. They're his Praetorian Guard. And he sent them with Joab, a man he trusts with his very life. He sends them with Joab. We had Kol Yisrael, together with the rest of Israel, i.e. the ordinary army, the ordinary troops, the conscripts. Vayashchitu et b'nei Ammon, and they were busily destroying the Ammonites, who had been a bone in the throat, as we know from the days of Yiftach, Jephthah onwards. Vayatsuru al Rabbah, and they were besieging Rabbah. Rabbah is known by the modern name of Ammon, conquered by David, so we have a claim to it. But David Yosheb Yerushalayim, in the meantime, David is sitting in Jerusalem. That's a poignant fact. He's sitting in Jerusalem. He is the great commander. He's the military genius. So why isn't he out there with his army? That's an obvious question. What is he doing?
Well, the king didn't go everywhere, did he?
Oh, they did. Oh, kings led their armies into battle. Especially if you wanted the kavod, you want the glory of the conquest. Mm. So they did go. You know, it was not something that Richard Coeur de Lion started. Kings were commanders-in-chief of their armies in every sense of the word. So maybe he's getting a bit old.
He went maybe. Up to the roof to look.
Yeah, that's quite clearly not that old. So therefore we have to resort to the other possible interpretation, and I call it the Louis the 14th syndrome, l'état c'est moi. David is the state. You know, he's built it up. It depends upon him. Therefore, he's too valuable a commodity to expose now to the dangers of battle. See the point?
Mm.
We can't lose him.
And it might only have been a battle, not a war.
So oh, this is an ongoing war, and will end in conquest. The Ammonites was an ongoing war of attrition, as it was with the Philistines.
Sure.
And so he's... Here is this powerful genius, in so many senses of the word, a military commander par excellence, kicking his heels in Jerusalem. You can imagine he is restless. And we are told, Vayihila Eder Ha'er, and it came towards evening, Vayakum David Me'al Mishkavo, David gets off, he can't sleep. Vayitalech Al Gag Beit HaMelech, and he was walking about on the roof of the palace. He's restless. But then something stops him in his tracks. By Yarish Aro Chetzet Me'alagad, and he sees a woman bathing on the top of her on her roof. By Yishato Vat Mare Me'od, and the woman was exceptionally beautiful.
Yeah, was it customary to bathe on top?
Sure, what are you doing bathing on the roof?
and the palace is
well, let us understand that. I mean, that's the first question.
My interpretation was looking down from the roof.
This is the point. You're on the right track.
She's on her roof, which is probably lower than it is.
Sure, that's it. Why is she on the roof? They didn't have blinds and shutters and so on. If you would bathe downstairs in your only living area downstairs, so passers-by would get a free look like they do in Amsterdam.
Very good.
So therefore, you go where you have some privacy. A roof was a flat area surrounded by a parapet. Can't be seen from street level. Therefore, it's an ideal place to bathe. But it can be seen from palace level.
Mm, that's good.
You see, that's the point. So David has a bird's eye view. Okay. In all senses of the word. Vayishlach David, and David sends, Vayidrosh Lishah, inquires after the woman. Vayomen is Halozot, Bat Sheva, Bat Eliam. So this is surely Bathsheba, the daughter of Eliam.
So he knew who she was.
Oh, no, he said, wait. Eshet Uriah Hachiti.
Yeah.
The wife of Uriah the Hittite. That should have been enough for him to look at the other side of his palace roof.
Turn away.
She is a wife of a man. She is forbidden to him, regardless who the man is. She's an Eshetish. To consort with her is an offence against God's law, punishable by death. Niyuf, adultery. The king ought to know it. It's worse than that. Uriah the Hittite is one of his closest, most faithful generals. Uriah the Hittite is not a native Israelite. He is a man, a Hittite, who has converted to the belief of the one true God and has taken the name, the Lord is my light, Uriah.
Mm-hmm.
And he is a pious convert, as indeed converts can be more pious than them who are born into it. And this should have been reason enough for David to back off. He doesn't. By Yishlach David Malachim, David sends his messengers, by Yikacheha, and he takes her. Not he brings her. He takes her. He's abducted her. He's the king. He just takes her. Vatavoy love, she comes to him. You know, King Jamal. By Yishkabiman, he beds her. And she was at that time purifying herself from her uncleanliness. Batashov el Beita, after the encounter, she goes home. What's the point of telling me she was in cleaning herself of uncleanliness? This may explain the reason why she's bathing, but what's the significance? very significant.
She's in her fertile.
That's it. The menstrual period. Let me just elaborate. Menstrual period is 7 days, well, could be a little less, of actual menstrual flow, followed by 7 days of cleanliness, no showing of blood, after which the woman has to purify herself, bathing and going to mikvah. And it's within those 3 days, between the 14th and the 17th day of a woman's cycle, that in the majority of cases she's liable to conceive. So this woman has completed her cycle, completed her purification period, she has been to mikvah, as it were, and the king has bedded her. And guess what? Vataha Isha, and the woman becomes pregnant. So what was a dalliance, which in any case was against the law, has now become a situation that will inevitably show itself.
Well put.
Vatishlach, and she sends, after all, her neck is on the line here, she'll be burnt. Vatishlach, and she sends Vatagela David, and she informs David, Vatom, and she says, Hara Anuchi, I'm pregnant. Now that's a bombshell piece of information. King he may be, but if she's going to the stake, she's going to speak. Why should she keep quiet? So what is David going to do? He has a brilliant plan. By Yishlach David el Yoav, and so David sends to Joab the message: Shlach Eli et Uriah Achiti, send me Uriah the Hittite. Now that may seem strange, but no, he's a leading soldier. He wants his view on the progress of the war. Joab asks no questions, as we shall see. Vayishlach Yoav et Uriah David, and so Joab sends Uriah to David. Vayavo Uriah Elam, and Uriah comes to him. And David goes through the motions. Vayishal David Lishlom Yoav. David inquires after the welfare of his commander-in-chief, Joab, Lishlom Ha'am, the welfare of the people, the army, Lishlom Ha'milchama, the progress of the war. That's what I brought you here for. And there's an afterthought, Vayomi David Uriah, and David says to Uriah, Reid Leveitacha, now go home, Urachatz Raglecha, and wash your feet. Why, you've got smelly feet? This is a euphemism.
Quite obvious. A euphemism
for going to bed. Take advantage of it. Vayetze Uriah mi Beit HaMelech, and Uriah goes out from before the king. Doesn't say a word. Vayetze Acharav Masat HaMelech, and he's followed by a gift of the king, a gift of food. It's a royal takeaway. Vayishkav Uriah Petach Beit HaMelech et kol avdei Adonav, and instead of going home, Uriah sleeps in the entrance of the king's palace together with the other guards of the king. V'lo yarad el beito, he doesn't go home. Oh dear. Vayagidu le David lemor, and David is informed, saying, Lo yarad Uriah el beito, Uriah didn't go home. So David says to Uriah, Hallo mi derech ata ban. You know, you've come quite a way. Madu lo yarata el beitech, why haven't you gone home? Look how the man answers. Vayomi Uriah, and Uriah said el David to David, Ha'aron, the Ark of the Covenant, v'Yisrael, v'Yudah, and Israel and Judah, Yoshvim basukot, are sitting out there at Sukkot. This is a place name. Notice the Ark of the Covenant has gone forth into battle with the Israelites. It's their ace in the hole. Vadoni Yoav, Vavde Adoni, and my Lord Joab, and the servants of you, my Lord, Al Pnei Asadech Onim, are camping out there in the open. Vani Avoel Biti, and you want me to go home, Le'achol V'lishtot V'lishkav, I should go home and eat and drink and sleep with my wife. Chayecha, as you live, v'chein nafshecha, and as your soul lives, im eset adabar zeh, I will not do such a thing. Boy, he's standing up to the king, isn't he? And why? Well, there's the clue.
I think his guest is a very loyal.
Loyal, he's clearly loyal. I should be in bedding where my friends and my commander are out there endangering their lives. Now, there's something else too. And we see this from Devarian's book of Deuteronomy. A Levitical purity had to be maintained in the camp when going out to war.
So you couldn't go back straight away then?
Which meant, and if you sleep with your wife, you become impure. And he was not going to compromise his state of purity for when he returned to the battle. This is a pious man.
So he'd have to stay home 3 days? Or
yeah, he would have to even. I'm not going to do it. For David, this is a problem. So David says to Uriah, he tries another tack. Shevazer, stay here. I enjoy your company. Come on, today. And I'll send you away tomorrow. But Yeshu Uriah Yerushalayim, and so Uriah remains in Jerusalem by Yom Kippur that day. Umimacharat, and the following day. Vayikralo David. And David summons him. Vayochal lefanav, and he joins him for dinner. Vayesht, and he drank. Vayashkirehu, and the king did everything good to make him tipsy. Vayeti ba'erev, he went out in the evening. Mishkav mishkavot, to sleep on his cot im avdei adonav, with the servants of his lord, together with the praetorian guard. And he wouldn't go home. The king hoped, if I booze him up sufficiently, then this will certainly undermine his resolve. He'll be disturbed about it in the morning. He'll have a hangover in more than one sense, but that's the best way to do it. Uriah may have had his fair share of arak, but he wasn't going home. And therefore David has to resort to the only solution that seems feasible. And so, Vayibaboker, following morning, Vayichtav David Sefer El Yoav, David sends a letter to Joab. Vayishlach biyad Uriah, and he sends it in Uriah's hand. Vayichtoba Sefer Leimor, and in the letter he stated the following: Havu et Uriah el mul panei amichalma hachazaka. Station Uriah where the battle is at its fiercest. V'shavtem me'acharav, retreat from him, leave him there on his own. V'nikav ameit, so that he should be smitten and die. He's procuring his death.
Terrible.
And he is making Uriah carry his own death warrant.
Yes.
Isn't that lovely? He's got to solve the problem, so what better than sacrifice a loyal servant and a valuable, valuable soldier? Vayhi b'shmo Yoav el ha'ir. And Joab, of course, who has received this epistle, doesn't question it. You want him dead? You know, the godfather says he's got to be rubbed out. That's it. And so Joab was observing the battle, observing the city. Vayitain et Uriah el amakom asher yada ki anshei achai sham. Excuse me. And he positions Uriah precisely at the place where he knows the toughest warriors are fighting. Of course, he's been watching the city. He knows that's where the heavy guard is. Put Uriah there. Thank you. By Yetsu Anshair, and of course, the defenders of the city come out. For Yelachamu et Yoav, they fight with Joab. Vayipol min ha'am, and the number of the people fell, me'av dei David, of David's crack guards. So a number of his praetorians have been killed. Vayamot gam Uriah hachiti, and also Uriah the Hittite dies. Now, what has he done? He was told, excuse me, engineer the death of Uriah. And it appears that he sacrificed not just Uriah, but a platoon of the Praetorians. Why?
Well, they worked together, didn't they? I mean, it wouldn't be natural to send him on his own.
excuse me, it's more than that. If I send a platoon into battle, and then I say to the 19 out of the 20 guys, now you back off and leave him there.
They won't do it even. Well, and it looks ridiculous.
You are procuring his death. Mm-hmm. Why are you doing this? This would arouse considerable suspicion. So to accomplish the will of the king, I have to sacrifice all 20 of them. Mm-hmm. Told you it would get worse. But it hasn't got bad. You haven't reached the pit yet.
But that is Joab's decision. That's not the king's
That's
decision.
That's Joab's decision. The king wants it.
Yeah.
Savolt the royal, the king wants it.
I will do it. Yeah.
But of course, Joab knows that the king may not be too happy about this.
Does he suspect the reason?
Pardon? No, he may not suspect it. Yeah. He wouldn't know. He'll find out.
Yeah.
He doesn't have to suspect.
No.
The king commands.
I know.
And therefore I do it. They're a bloodthirsty lot, make no mistakes about it. It was a bloodthirsty world. Vayishlach, Yoav, Vayaged, LeDavid, and so now Joab sends word to David, Kol Divrei HaMilchama, reporting to him on the progress of the battle. And he commands the messenger, his courier, saying, now, when you've given your full report to the king, and it shall be, if the king is infuriated by what you've got to tell him, he's lost a platoon of his crack guards. And he'll say to you, because Joab is anticipating this. And he'll say to you, why the heck did you draw near to the city to fight? Don't you know your strategy? Soldiers that approach a city wall are the most vulnerable. Didn't you know the archers will have a crack shot at you? Have you forgotten your military history? Mihikayet Avimelech ben Yerubeshet. Who killed Avimelech, the son of Yerubeshet? Haloisha, it was a mere woman, Hishlicha alav pelach rechev, throwing down the upper millstone on his head, Me'alach oma from off the wall, Vayamot b'Tevetz, and he died at a place called Tevetz. Lama digashte me'alach oma. Why the heck did you draw near to the wall? What kind of idiocy was that? Then saved for him the party piece. Gav Avdecha Uriah Hachiti mate. Also Uriah, your servant, has died. That'll calm him down. Well, the messenger doesn't know that, but that will calm him down. Now who is Avimelech ben Yerubeshet? Yerubeshet is an intentionally corrupted form of the name Yerubal. Baal will see, Baal will observe. And this was the name adopted by the prophet, the judge, Gideon. He took a Baal name. And our holy authors avoid it. Saul did the same thing. He named one of his sons Mephibaal. But he turns up in our text as Mephibosheth. Bullshit means shame. How will David react? Vayelech Malach, the messenger went. Vayavon, and he came. Vayaged le David et kol asher shlachu Yoav, and he informed David of all that Joab required of him. But the messenger is nervous. He knows that when a king is angry, you shoot the messenger. So he embellishes it a bit. When Yomer Malach and the messenger said of David to David, Oh, ki gavru alinu anashim, the men overpowered us. We had to fight back. Vayetzu alinu asadeh, they came out and confronted us, attacked us in the open. So what choice did we have? Ani alehem, we had to set upon them, ad petach hashah, even up to the gate of the entrance of the gate. That's why we were so near the wall. We had no option, Your Majesty. The war took us that way. By Yoru Hamori Menavadecha, and so the archers on the top of the wall there shot down upon your guards, Me'alachoma off the wall, by Yamutu Me'avde HaMelech, and a number of your servants died, but Begamavdecha Uriah Hiti mate, and also Uriah the Hittite died. Look how David reacts. Vayomer David el HaMalach, and then David says to the courier, Kol toma el Yoav. Tell Joab the following, Al yera b'yeinecha et hadavar hazeh. Do not let this matter disturb you, that you've lost a platoon of my crack troops. Ki chazo v'chazeh tochal acherev, because the sword flashes this way and that in battle. Sela ger. You engineer the death of an honest and upright man. In order to achieve it, a squad of your troops are sacrificed, and all you can say is Sela ger. My advice is Hachazek milchamdecha. Reassert your efforts of battle El Ha'ir against the city. Intensify the battle. V'horsa, overthrow it. And he says to the messenger, V'chaskehu, and give him encouragement. Well, any comments, ladies and gentlemen? What is that? What's the impression you're forming of David?
He's delighted when this is finished. Delighted.
The man is being... The man is behaving in an...
Absolutely.
Immoral?
Absolutely.
Oh, forgive me that.
What's new?
And the
what's
number,
changed? The same goes on
hello?
Now?
Hello? Well, you're an unknown number. So we'll get rid of you.
What age would David have been
don't
in?
No, can't tell you. Let's say he was in his middle years, 40s, 50s.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, that would be a reasonable guess.
Yes.
Reasonable guess. But what kind of response? You are the great king. God has set you over Israel. You are supposed to be the upholder of the law. These men fought for you, gladly died for you.
And you kill them.
You kill them off and dismiss it.
And there's nothing happened.
Nothing has happened. What has happened to him?
Lust.
Exactly.
Lust could still go hand in hand with a man who could be concerned for his troops.
Yeah.
Might even share the women with them. But to dismiss their death as an error, that's unacceptable. Of course, Batishma Eshet Uriah ki mate Uriah Isha, and Uriah's wife hears her husband is dead, but he spoke al Bala, and she mourns for him. For Yavoh Avel, the period of mourning passed. By Yishlach David, and David sends by Yasva el Beito, and he gathers her into his house. Very nice of him. He's the guardian of widows. After all, it was his good, faithful servant Uriah who has died. I must take care of his childless widow.
And neighbour.
Pardon? And a neighbour. Good neighbours. Vatilolisha, and she became his wife. Vatelid lo bain, and she bore him a son. All is well.
All right.
David has got what he wants.
All is well.
He is now. He's off the hook, and he's got a look what he's got into the bargain. He's got a dividend. By Yera Hadava Asher Asa David Beinei Adonai. However, somebody isn't happy about it. What David did is most displeasing in the eyes of the Lord.
And did nobody suspect? I mean, the baby must have been born after 6 months, 7 months?
8 months. Could be 8 months, premature. No DNA testing in those days.
Yeah.
the ultrasound, wasn't it?
Yes, but anybody could have worked out that Uriah could not have been the father.
Well, let's put it this way. You don't challenge the king. What are you going to say? On the basis of a suspicion, you're going to point a finger at the king? I'll tell you something, you wouldn't lift a point of finger again.
There's no way of proving it anyway. Nothing. Then, in any case.
Just he's got away with it, so he thinks. But there is a higher king who won't let him get away with it. And so comes one of the most famous stories in the Bible. Vayishlach Adonai et Natan el Darin. So the Lord sends Nathan the prophet to David. Vayavo elav, when he comes to him. And Nathan.
Is that the first time we hear of Nathan?
As far as I know, yes. But he throws him off his guard. He deals with him in a clever psychological way. He doesn't go and point a finger at him. He wants him to condemn himself. Vayomelo, and he said to him, Shnei Anashim ayu be'irecha. There were two men in one of your cities. Echad Ashir, Echad Rash. One rich, the other poor. Le'ashir Hayat Sonu Vakar Habemeo. The rich man had enormous flocks and cattle. Blarash Ein Kol Ki'im Kivsa Achat. And the poor man had only one little lamb. Katana. Asher Kana, which he had bought. Vayechayeha. And he had kept it alive, he didn't eat it. Vatik Dalimo, it grew up with him, Mibanav Yachtav, together with his children. Mipito Tochal, she ate from his bread. Umikoso Tishte, she drank from his cup. Uvecheko Tishtav, and she lay in his bosom. Vati Lochavat, she was like a daughter to him. The RSPCA would be delighted. Vayavo Helech Li'ish Ashir. Now a visitor came to the rich man, and he spared of taking from his own sheep and cattle, lasot laoreach abalo, to prepare anything for the guest who had come. So what did he do? Et kivsat ha'ish arash, he took the little lamb of the poor man, and prepared that for the man who came to him. And David's royal anger is incensed by Yichaf David by Ishmael. And David was furious. He was incensed against the man. By Yomel Natan, and he said to Nathan, Chai Adonai, as the Lord lives, ki ben mavet Aisho, says, the man who did this is sentenced to death. That in any case is OTT. It's over the odds, because in Jewish law, you are not sentenced to death for stealing. You are sentenced to paying back what you owe. If it's an article, you pay back double. If it's an animal,
five.
Then four or five. And here is how he should be sentenced to death in his royal anger and sense of righteousness. And he shall pay back fourfold for the little lamb, because he has done such a thing, and showed no passion, no compassion, no pity. And then by Yom Natan El David, Nathan then says to David, Atahish, you are the man. You have pronounced sentence on this man, you have condemned yourself. Ko amar Adonai Elohei Israel. Thus says the Lord God of Israel. Anochi meshachticha lemelech al Yisrael. I have anointed you as a king over Israel. Vanochi hitzalticha miyat Shaul. I delivered you from the hands of Saul. Va'etna lecha et beit adunecha. I delivered to you the household of your master. Va'etnasheh adunecha b'cheikecha. And I gave into your bosom your master's wives. The first time we discover that David took over Saul's harem. This is one of the means by which you establish your hold on the throne. I am king, and I'm bedding the former king's wives. And I gave to you the house of Israel and Judah. V'imi'at, and if that wasn't enough, V'osivu l'cha kahin v'chain, I added to you from there and around and about. You've extended your empire. Ma'adua bazita edavadunai la'asot harabe'inai. Why have you despised the word of the Lord to do such evil in my eyes? Et Uriah hachiti hikita becharet. You have smitten Uriah the Hittite with the sword. I regard it as if you took the sword and stuck it in him. Ve'et ishto lakachta lacha le'ishan. You've taken his wife to be yours. Ve'ota horakta becherei b'nei Ammon. You killed him through the sword of the Ammonites. An Ammonite soldier may have thrust the sword, but it is your hand that is bloody. Ve'ata, and now, lo tasu cherev mi beitcha ad olam. The sword will never depart from your house. You said that the sword flashes this way and that, boy, you're going to regret those words. Your house will be dogged by bloodshed. Not by external enemies, but within your household. Ekev ki bazitani, because you have despised me. Vatikach et eshet Uriah achiti, and you took the wife of Uriah the Hittite, liyot lecha le'isha, to be your wife. Ko amar Adonai, thus says the Lord, mekim alecha ra'ah mibeitecha, he will establish this evil against you from your own household. V'lakachti et nashecha, and I will take your wives, le'inecha, in your very presence. V'natati l're'echa, and I will deliver them over to your friend. V'shachavim nashecha le'inei ha'shemesh hazot, and he will sleep with your wives in broad daylight. You will be disgraced. Ki ata sita basateh, because you acted in secret. And I will do all of this in the presence of the entire nation of Israel in broad daylight. I will shame you. That's quite a sentence. And of course it will happen. It will happen. David's life will be appalling. However, David then says, "Vayomer David el Natan." David says to Nathan, "Chatati l'Adonai, I have sinned against the Lord." Vayomer Natan el David, and Nathan says to David, "Gam Adonai he'evir chatatcha, the Lord has passed over your sin. Lo tamut, you will not die." That's how it's normally translated. So you're given the impression that he's done what? Pardoned him. Mm-hmm. No way. Heavy means to cause to pass away. Doesn't mean to say you are now innocent. Pardoned. He's causing the sin to pass away from you to your own family. You won't die. You'll have the pleasure of watching them die.
Is that what it means when it says in the tank that the sins of the fathers will pass to their children?
Well, that's if they act in accordance with the way of their fathers. In the case of David, they will behave corruptly. I don't want to give away too much of the story. He's going to have a vicious brood. Yeah. And they will cause him aggravation that King Lear would regard as beyond anything he ever knew. King Lear had a tea party to what David's going to experience. And he brought it on himself. So why didn't God kill him? Because he's going to condemn him to a fate worse than death. But the truly amazing factor comes next, as we shall see. Efes ki nietzni atstait ojeve adunai badavaze. But because you have held the enemies of the Lord, but that's a circumlocution, it really means God, because you have held the Lord in utter contempt through this matter. The child that has just been born to you will surely die. Tragedy starts here. And Nathan goes home. He doesn't stay for coffee. He is here to speak the word of the Lord and leave with David to stew with it. And the Lord smote the child whom the wife of Uriah had given born to David. I will not let you forget, this is adultery. And the child became severely ill. And David beseeched God on behalf of the child. Vayatzom David tzom, and David fasted. Uvar v'lan, and came and spent the night v'shachav alto, sitting on the ground. Vayakumu ziknei beito alav lahakimo, and of course his servants get up to try and raise him up min haaretz, from the ground. V'lo avar, he wouldn't. V'lo barai tam lachim, he wouldn't eat with them. V'hi, and it was v'yom ashvi'i, on the seventh day, v'yamot hayaled, the child died. Vayiru avdeh David lahagidlo, and David's servants were afraid to tell him. Ki meit hayeled, that the child was dead. Ki amru, because they said, hinei b'yot hayeled chai, look, whilst the child was still alive, dibarnu elav v'lo shama b'koleni, we spoke to him and he wouldn't listen to us. Ve'ich noma elav, how can we now say to him, meit hayeled, the kid is dead. V'yasara, he'll do himself an injury. Vaya David ki avadat mitlachashim. And David saw that his servants were whispering to one another. Vayavin David ki meita yaled. And David realized the child was dead. Vayomi David al avadav. And David says to his servants, hameita yaled. Is the child dead? And of course, confronted with the question, Vayomaru mate. And they said, yes. Vayakom David me ha'aretz. And David got off the ground. Vayirchatz, and he bathed. Vayasech, and anointed himself. Vayachalesim lotav, changed his garments. Vayavo beit Adonai, and he came to the house of the Lord. Vayishtachu, and prostrated himself, cleansed himself, and goes into the house of the Lord and prostrates. Well, what's he doing? He's submitting himself to the will of God. This is David. He'll do horrendous things, but the one thing of which David was never guilty, and of which his descendants in the royal house of David were almost without exception guilty, he never betrayed his faith to his God. I submit. He will say it again later. Adonai hu, he is the Lord. Atobi anavia, said, let him do what is right. So David now says, I accept my sin. I accept your judgment. This is an act of submission. And he continues. Vayavo il beito, after which he went home. Vayishal, and he asked. Vayasimu lo lechem, and they presented him with food. Vayochal ani et. Vayomru avadav elav, and his servant said to him, Ma davar ze asita? What have you been doing here? Bavu ayeret chai tzam tabateik, for a living child, you fasted and you wept. And when the child died, come to Vatoka Lachin, you get up and you have your sandwiches. By Yomin, he said, Be'od Ayelet Chai, whilst the child lived, come to, I fasted, Ba'evke, and I wept. Chiamarti, for I said, Mio Dea, who knows? The Hanani Adonai's Lord will show me an act of grace which I don't deserve. V'chai hayalid, and the child will live. V'yata meit, but now the child is dead. Lama ze anitzon, how can I fast? What's the point? Ha'uchal lahashivo, will I bring him back? No, ani ho aleich elav, I will go to him. V'hu lo yashuv elai, he will not come back to me. Vayenachim David et Bathsheba ishto, and David comforted Bathsheba, his wife. Vayavo eleha, and he came into her, vayishkavima, and he bedded her, vatelet bein, she gave birth to a son, vayikra shemo yishlomo, and he called him Shlomo, his peace. Vadonai havo, and the Lord loved him. Vayishlach biyad Natan anavi, and he sends Natan anavi again. Vayikra et shemo Yedidya, and he called his name Yedidya, friend of the Lord, Bavu Adonai, for the sake of the Lord. He gave him a name containing an element of the divine name.
We never hear that name.
No. We must presume that Shlomo was his personal name. Yedidya was his throne name. When assuming the throne, they assumed a name which contained an element of God's name. Mm-hmm. Hence, Yehoshaphat, Yehoshia, Yehowachaz. So, in modern parlance, Bertie becomes Edward the VII, David becomes Edward the VIII, and Bertie becomes George the VI. Mm. It's not unknown. It's a real name. But, what horrifies you? I mean,
how is it that Nathan can confront him and get away with it, mm-hmm. than anybody else, and immediately he's done away with?
Well, the prophet of the Lord you don't lay a finger on. Mm. Because if you lay a finger on the prophet of the Lord, what you will call down upon your head would not bear thinking about.
He was forgiven very fast, wasn't he?
He's not forgiven. He's told, sentence deferred. But I promise you, when it is fulfilled, you wish that you were dead.
Oh, okay. But he.
And he will wish he's
but
dead.
But he chooses, Solomon is chosen.
So now you're getting to what I'm after. Let's just view this dispassionately. An act of adultery has been committed. Mm. An act of adultery. An act of murder and adultery has been committed. Of defilement. In Jewish law, what is the position of an adulterous woman? In fact, it's in the Torah. The rabbis put it very simply. Asura lebal, asura levoil. The minute she has intercourse outside of marriage, she is now prohibited to her husband and to her paramour. So what's going on here? He's keeping her? Worse than that, she will have a child, because they're now adulterers, who ought by right to be illegitimate, but is the ancestor of the royal Davidic line, down to and including the King Messiah. Hadn't thought of that yet, had you? And I can see from the expression of your... No, that's the first one.
First one, but
the second one is now Solomon. And we all know who Solomon is.
But by the time he had Solomon, he'd married her, no?
Yes, but he's still married. She's forbidden to him.
Should have been forbidden to him.
You can't do what happens here as you...
But this law, this law, when does it come in?
According to the Torah.
But is it in the Torah?
They should have been put to death. They should have been burned.
But as you said...
Instead of which, he's got her, he keeps her, and has a royal line through her.
Yeah. But as you said, she probably had no choice in the matter.
Yeah, but that doesn't make it kosher.
But why is she guilty and not just
him? This is his eighth son anyway that we know of.
Yes, but he's guilty.
Yes,
and it's being condoned. And this is a major, major problem. And the rabbis were the first to be profoundly worried by it. And they attempt to solve the problem. So what you've got on the left-hand side of the page are quotations from the Talmud. What did they do with this? And so I invite you to read it with me. Amar Rabbi Shmuel bar Nachmani. Rabbi Shmuel bar Nachmani said, Amar Rabbi Yonatan, in the name of Rabbi Yonatan, Kol ha'omer David chata, anybody who suggests that David sinned, Eino ela toeh, is making a big mistake.
Oh yeah.
Whitewash.
Whitewash.
Whitewash. With a brush big enough to paint the fourth bridge. As it says, Vayihi David l'chol racham maskil. David was prosperous and intelligent in all his ways. Vadunayimon, the Lord was with him. Now I argue, I put it to you. Efsha chet ba viado. Is it at all possible David should have been guilty of a sin, Ushchina Imon, the divine presence, remained with him? Elamani Makayim, but then how am I going to explain the explicit verse? Madua Bazita Edavadunai La Sotara, why have you despised the word of the Lord to do such a thing? And his answer is Shebikesh Lasov, he wanted to do it, Velo Asa, but he didn't do it. I don't think you're too satisfied with that.
It was a thought.
Yes, but the thought is off father to the deed. So and the in this case,
so is the first Immaculate Conception.
Yes, it really was. Now you can see that the rabbis are being pushed against the wall on this one, and they're trying to come up with an explanation which clearly flies in the face of the plain meaning of the text. Oh, it gets better than that. Amar Rav. Rav said, now Rav was the great master of Babylonian Jewry, who studied under Judah the Patriarch, Yehuda HaNasi, the author of the Mishnah. And Rav said, Rabbi, this is Rabbi Yehuda HaNasi, De'ate mi David, being a descendant of King David, got a vested interest here, because Judah the Patriarch was of the royal line. The patriarchs of the land of Israel were descendants of King David. Because he was a descendant of David, Mahapech, he turns the story on its head, V'darish bizchute de David, and interprets it favorably towards David. And I'll show you how. He took the verse, Madua bazita edavadunai la'asot et hara, why did you hold the word of the Lord in contempt to do evil in the eyes, to do the evil? Rabbi Amar, Rabbi said, Mushuna ra'azo mikora otsu b'torah. This act of evil is different from any other act of evil you may find in the Bible. Shakora otsu b'torah, because if you look at any other act of evil in the Bible, Ketiv Bahu, it actually states, Vayas, he did it. Rachan Ketiv, but here it says, La'asot, to do it. Shebikesh La'asot, he wanted to do it, for Lo'asa, but he didn't do it. But what about the verse, Et Uriah Hachiti Hikita Bacherev? You smote Uriah the Hittite with the sword? I'll tell you why. You had every right to kill him, but you should have done so through the court procedure, not off your own bat. But he deserved to die. You'll see. You took his wife to be your wife? Oh. You were entitled to take her. The language says you took her to wife means you were entitled to make her your wife. How did you work that one out? I'll tell you. You'll love it. Amar Rabbi Shmuel bar Nachmani, Amar Rabbi Yonatan, because these rabbis said, Kol ha-yotze le-milchemet Beit David, any soldier that went out to battle from the house of David, Kotev get would write a divorce bill, Kotev could get karitut le-ishto, would write a conditional divorce bill for his wife.
Is that why Uriah never went?
The Israeli army does it today.
Yeah. Is that why he never actually went then to his wife's house?
Well, they were still technically married at that point, and he doesn't go because he doesn't want to defile himself. But he were being told that the soldiers of David's army all deposited a get at home. In the event of their death, the woman would not become an aguna, she wouldn't become a changed woman, she would become retrospectively divorced.
But if the husband is dead, she's widowed.
No. If the whole point is, she writes the get saying, if I do not return to you, then you are retrospectively divorced. You're a divorced woman from the date of this get.
So she's never a widow.
She's not a widow, according to this. Consequently, if she is retrospectively divorced, when David took her to bed, she was respectively a free woman. Even though at the time she was her husband was alive and she was married and all the rest of it,
only on condition
the retroactive law kicks in, and from the moment, therefore, that David took her, she was a free woman. He could marry her.
That's not quite correct.
Would be destroyed if the husband comes back.
Oh, yes, certainly.
But that is not quite correct. He has not been killed, therefore he has.
Oh no, retroactive.
Only if they had come back.
From the moment he dies, the divorce bill takes effect retroactively. So it's as if she were already a divorced woman from the moment she took that get in her hands.
Exactly.
Yeah, but the incident...
Only if he died.
Yes. So, therefore, the adultery doesn't exist. David was entitled. Well, you don't like it. I don't like it.
Child happens to die. We're back to the time, aren't we? 9 months.
When would he have the get? He had not
died. When he
died.
Went to battle.
When he went out. Well, okay, let me explain it. Went out to battle on the 1st of Nisan. And he deposited a get with his wife, dated the 1st of Nisan. 6 months later, he's dead. And the divorce bill kicks into effect as of the 1st of Nisan.
So she has a child in
So when David Tishri, picked her up...
That's fine, she's
so when David picked her up and slept with her on the 1st of Sivan... She was retroactively a free woman.
Mm-hmm. But why retroactively? She got the bill of divorce. She was divorced.
Well, no, but it doesn't take effect unless
the husband... If he comes back, she's not divorced.
It only becomes effective...
Does it say so?
Yes, that's the whole point. Mm-hmm. I give you the divorce bill on condition I do not return.
Decree nisi.
Yes, it's a conditional. Al-tanai. It's a conditional get. Mm-hmm. So...
Sorry, why is it better to be divorced than widowed?
In these circumstances, we're talking about a man who goes out to battle. It's far better to be divorced than to be an aguna, a woman who does not know.
They don't find his body.
They don't find the body. That's the point here. They don't find the body. She is chained. Yeah. She can never marry again.
But she's not widowed.
That's why she's not widowed
because they don't know if he's dead or alive.
That's right.
So why did poor old Uriah the Hittite deserve to die? That's a good one. He deserved it though. Because he didn't obey the king. The king said, go to your wife. He refused to do so. He was worthy of the death penalty. That was lese majeste.
He didn't listen to the king.
What would have happened?
Oh, dear.
What would have happened if he'd gone home?
Oh.
Ah, no, that's it.
You want to rewrite history.
He would have sighed.
The child would have been his child.
That's right.
He would claim paternity and nobody would have questioned it.
That's what he was hoping.
So what have we got here? We've got a perfect situation that has got Stanley by, I think, every means unhappy. But A, now transpires she was never an adulteress, because retroactively she was divorced, and Uriah the Hittite, bless him, deserved to die anyway.
Because
he disobeyed the king. So when he
procured him, he lost the captain.
Well, thank you. So when David procures his death, this was in fact an act of royal justice that did not go through the normal procedures.
But would it be that he didn't return back to his wife? Let's say he didn't know that she committed adultery. He didn't return to his wife because he didn't want to. So that is a sin.
No, he didn't go back to his wife because he was in a state of purity and did not wish to defile himself to return to the battlefield where everybody else was observing Levitical purity. Mm-hmm. That's why he wouldn't go home.
So presumably he wouldn't have been able to go back to battle, would he?
No, that he would have deferred him. And he didn't want to.
But where does it say that he's in the state of purity?
Oh yeah, this is, according to the book of Deuteronomy, we are commanded that the Lord is in your midst, and they've got the Ark of the Covenant in their midst, and your camp shall be holy.
But if he's at home, he's not in camp.
No, but he wants to go back.
Wants to go back tomorrow.
He wants to go back the next day.
But then he'll never be able to be a married man.
In the time of battle, yes. Mm-hmm. He's a married man. But whilst I'm on active service in the field, I abstain from relationships with my wife.
But he wasn't in the field. He was at home.
He was. He'd been brought home and wanted to return to the battle.
He's only 2 days away.
He didn't come home for good. He came home to give the king a report, get on his horse, and go back again.
It's only from the man to.
That's why when in the first year of marriage, they don't go to battle.
Absolutely. Yes. But notice that the comment by Rav on this, he makes a very telling comment. He says, it's only because it happens to be his ancestor that Yehuda HaNasi is turning the story head over heels. So, was Rav convinced by this?
Not at all.
Pull my other tefillin strap, I've got a bell on it.
I didn't know you had two straps.
Oh, you really? Strapping leg. So what is going
does
on
he say,
here?
Does it say that he turns it on his head?
That's what he says. Mahapech v'darish b'shutei d'David. He turns the whole story over and interprets it favourably for David.
Yeah.
Can't be plainer than that.
Uriah had gone home, and everything would have been covered up.
Yeah.
David would have carried on.
He had another half a dozen women available to him. He may have gone up the roof every now and again, but but that was only to be an observer. Now, if you would allow me to take a few more minutes, I'll try and explain to you what's going on, unless you want to leave it till next week.
No.
We're on tenterhooks.
I must say, I consider this dishonest semantics.
Rav is telling you this. Rav is saying he's playing with it, but why? And I'll tell you why. We will speak of them again when we deal with the subject of Jewish prayer. There were more than one group of heretics that emerged during the Talmudic period. One group in particular was vicious.
Was what?
Vicious.
Vicious. Yeah.
They were the Gnostics. The Gnostics believed in two gods. It was a development of a much older religion, Zoroastrianism. Mm. They believed in two gods, a dualism. There was a supreme god who is out there in the universe, who is untouched and unsullied by our world. And there is a secondary God, the God of the Jews, who is the creator God. And you can see that he is an inferior God by the shoddiness of his workmanship. The world is filled with shoddy workmanship. Vicious creatures that harm us. Fruit rots, people grow old, become sick. He is a greedy god. That's why he wants a gold candlestick that we're going to be reading about. He is a vicarious, vindictive god. He creates man to do evil, and then when they do evil, he punishes them. Look at the generation of the flood. Wipe out. Sodomites. Wipe out. What kind of god is that? Worse still, you can tell a man who boozes by the company he chooses. Look who he associates with. Moses, a murderer. David, a murderer and an adulterer. And so therefore the rabbis, in order to react against this heretical onslaught, Yehuda HaNasi turns head over heels to demonstrate that David was neither a murderer or an adulterer.
Technically.
Yeah.
Politics.
Well, this is polemics. Polemics is the dispute between one religious group and another, and we find more than one example of this, numerous examples of Judaism having to engage in a battle with its spiritual opponents, principally the church, principally that great purveyor of anti-Semitism, but the Gnostics are there in the field.
Well, is it good to do that? Is it?
We'll have to see why. I'll only say this much, that if you are living under appalling conditions, as they were, this will have an impact. I mean, imagine, you're going home from synagogue on Shabbat morning, and somebody jumps up and says, your God is a vicious, vicarious, second-rate God. The most you might do is laugh, the worst you might do is say, Lech la'azazel. But if you're living under the heel of Roman oppression, you've seen your temple destroyed, your messianic hopes crushed, and someone comes along and says your God is vicious and vicarious, maybe that's the explanation. We got it wrong, boys. And so the rabbis were fighting to preserve the souls of their followers. Therefore I will stand on my head to prove that David was a nice little innocent choir boy.
This guy was in Babylon when?
Who? Rav?
Nasi.
No, yes. No. Judah the patriarch was the patriarch and of the land of Israel. He lives in the land of Israel. Okay. He presides over the Jewish community there. He is a close personal friend of the Emperor Antoninus. He is a wealthy, powerful figure. He's the author of the Mishnah, and students were coming from Babylon to study with him. And among them came Abba Aricha, Daddy Longlegs, who were eventually given the name Rav. And Rav sits there listening to Yehuda HaNasi expounding on this, and he makes a side comment. It's because it is Alta Saba there, so he's justifying him. But what he was doing was necessary.
Making it tolerable.
No, I wanted to remove David from the grasp of our enemies. Yeah. But the biblical story cannot be gainsaid. David sinned. David will be punished. And David will live to regret it.